This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season long, Sports Radio 1440, WVEI Worcester. Live from the Hogan Campus Center at the College of the Holy Cross, it's the Crusaders Coaches Show, presented by JMB Financial Advisors and Stephen Lavalette, Holy Cross Class of 1978. Here's your host, Dick Lutzk.
Good evening. Crossroads in the Hogan Campus Center on the campus of the College of the Holy Cross in Worcester, Massachusetts. On a rainy night on Mount St. James, we will be talking Holy Cross sports for the next 60 minutes. We'll open with a conversation on softball. We'll move to football and we'll close talking about men's lacrosse. A fast hour of entertainment for you here tonight. And we begin talking women's softball with head coach Jen Lepicki and senior Taylor Waller from Inman, South Carolina, joining us here at the table. It's always nice to have Jen Lepicki with us. I admire her enthusiasm, her optimistic outlook, and her high level of energy. And if coaches have that, how can they fail? It has to rub off on the players, doesn't it?
You know, they're a great group. So certainly come to practice every day and games trying to provide that constant example, but they do it on their own really well.
You had a couple of big wins over the past week we want to talk about. We want to start with a week ago tonight when I came in about 4:30, 5 o'clock here to the Crossroads. I turned the computer on, and I turned on the Holy Cross Harvard softball game at Freshman Field, and it was 4-2 in the sixth inning. You got two runs, made it 6-2, and Harvard got two in the top of the seventh, made it 6-4, and Kelly Nelson closed the door, and you won 6-4, and it was a big output that night for everybody. Alexandra Held got the win, her first of the season. She went 3 2/3, 5 hits, 2 earned runs, struck out 3. Kelly Nelson came on in, getting her first collegiate save as she came on in relief, and she pitched 3 1/3, giving up just 1 hit, 1 earned run. She struck out 6. A couple of hits on the day. She was 2-for-3 with a run and an RBI. Bailey Chavez was 1-for-3 with a run and an RBI. Her first two stolen bases of her collegiate career. Erin Bankston doubled, scored once, and drove another two in. Jesse Nagel and Hannah Horton also picked up an RBI each. And here's the most significant thing that came out of it and caught my eye. Mm-hmm. First time Holy Cross beat Harvard since 1998. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, it was certainly an exciting moment for our program and for our team this year. And when you talk about it, and as you read from some of the stats, it was a 16-strong team effort. Both sides of the ball did really well. And it was all about how can we manufacture runs as a program, as a team. How can we be team defense and staff pitching? And I think everyone just did a fantastic job of stepping up when their time was called.
Well, a win over Harvard since 1998, haven't beaten the Crimson. What does that mean? Interpret the meaning of a win like that?
Yeah, you know, I think over the last couple of years, right, we continue to want to build building blocks for success and leave legacy and leave a mark, and this group is doing an incredible job with that in a number of ways, off the field, in practice, and in moments like that in games where you see records happening and things really occurring that are just showing the effort that they're putting in every day. So an exciting time. I think when you're playing, you don't realize any of it, and I don't think, you know, even afterward, you don't really realize the mark that it is and the stepping stone that you just provided.
We talked before we came on the air about Harvard getting two in the top of the seventh, making it 6-4. Coaches get a little anxious at moments like that, don't they?
You do. Those nerves always stay. They always kick in. But you have to, you know, you trust your athletes. You trust their preparation. And they did a great job at closing the door.
And this past Sunday, you split a doubleheader with Siena. You lost the first game 6-2. You took the second one 9-7. And some more stats. Taylor Waller sitting right next to me, 5-for-7 on the day with 5 runs, an RBI, 2 triples, a double, and 2 stolen bases. Jackie Brewster, 3-for-4 on the day with a couple of runs, 2 RBIs, a double, a stolen base, and a walk. Erin Bankston again went 2-for-4, her second homer of the season. She scored twice, had an RBI, and walked twice. Hannah Horton, Bailey Chavez, Alyssa Gutierrez each had a couple of hits on the day. Horton recorded 3 RBI. Chavez had a walk. In the circle, Alexandra Held picked up her second win. Kelly Nelson, her second save. The 9 runs in the second game marks the Crusaders' highest run total of the season. 11 hits ties a season high. Again, offense doing the job.
Yeah, it was great. I think after the first game, you know, we really talked about how do we get on the attack earlier, how do we stay on that attack, and they did a great job with that and continuing to apply pressure every inning offensively. And then on the defensive side, continue to show up and shut it down. And I think, again, I think that the offense did a great job. I think Alex did a great job of setting a tone for us as well and allowed our team to continue to function at a high energy and a high pace. So really proud of the team all around.
Let's talk with Taylor about her week. 6 for 13 last week, 5 runs, an RBI, 2 triples, a double, a walk, 2 stolen bases, Patriot League honorable mention accolades. What's been going right for you?
Well, we've been focusing in practice on doing team offense and making sure we get a job done. So I've been focusing on doing a job and doing what I'm supposed to do up there when I get up at the plate. And then I just kind of clear my head and go and hope for the best.
Taylor is the leading hitter on the team, averaging .295 right now, some 80 points higher than her average a year ago. She leads the team in average, hits 28, stolen bases 7, tied for the team lead in runs with 12, triples 2, and total bases 36. Are you preparing differently at all this year? You're a senior. You've learned a lot over the course of your career. What are you doing differently this year?
Just knowing when I need to fix something technically or take a mental break off and know that my swing is fine and I just need to relax and be able to do what I know I can do best.
Let's talk about the win over Harvard and the win over Siena. Put them together. What do they all mean?
I think it's a good start for us. We've been kind of struggling up here, but a couple of victories, I think we definitely have a different feel about us now that we have some wins under our belt, and we're definitely a lot more loose and have a loose focus, which is really good for us. And I think we perform better when we're out there having fun.
Did you come into the season with setting goals for yourself, expectations for yourself and the team this year?
Yeah, definitely. The main goal was we definitely, like the seniors coming in, we wanted to set an example for the rest of our teammates, but we just wanted to make the most of our time here, and we wanted to have some fun. We wanted to play loose. We struggled with that last year, and we tried to set a mood for that so that we would play loose, have fun, be the team that we know we can be.
Coach, tell me about Taylor.
I call her Waller. I don't even think the name Taylor doesn't even kind of click with me. But Waller's got to be one of the hardest working individuals on our team. I think there's very few days that go by that Waller's not putting in the extra work. And sometimes that work may be stepping away for a little bit, but she is managing that. She sets a tone of how do we work hard, how do we go to battle every day. And I'll tell you, when Waller takes a hack, you back up a little bit. And I think she sets that tone for the offense as well.
Waller talked about playing loose. Well, I'll call you Waller, too. Is that?
Yeah, I feel better now.
Talked about playing loose. How do you get into play loose?
You know, I think when you go into practice, right, you have to trust your preparation. I think that this is a group that loves being together, and you have to remember that. You have to remember it's about the wins, it's about the losses, but it's about the relationships and those experiences as well. And we have to value all of that in this experience, and I think they do a great job with that. And this game is fun, and you have to keep it that way so that you can play confidence and trust your preparation.
It's not fun. It's not worth doing, is it?
It's not.
It's got to be fun.
It is. It is. This is it's your career here, and it's supposed to be one of the best experiences you have. And being able to be loose like that, Waller says, is a huge part of it.
From Inman, South Carolina, tell me what brought you to Holy Cross.
It's actually a funny story.
Love funny stories.
So I used to play travel ball with this girl in 12U, and her older sister we would play against in playoffs in high school. And Jen Durham she was a senior when I was a freshman. So we knew about her. We knew she'd committed to Holy Cross. I'd kind of heard of it, but wasn't really on my radar. And then I heard there was interest from Holy Cross, and we looked into it, and we're like, gee, that sounds familiar. Where have we heard that before? And we looked online, and we found out Jen Durham had gone there, so we contacted her, and we were like, hey, what do you think of Holy Cross? What do you, like, do you enjoy it? Is it a nice campus? Is it fun? Do you enjoy the team? So we came up for a visit. She was my host, and here we are.
The rest is history, right? You're an architectural studies major. Tell me what you hope to do when you graduate.
So right now the plan is to go to grad school. Haven't decided where yet, but once I do that, I'm wanting to get into potentially residential architecture, but we'll see where it takes me from there.
You've watched her grow over the course of her time at Holy Cross. What have you seen?
You know, I think there's the physical side of the game, of course, right? I think that Waller has made incredible gains in the box, in her defense. You talk about strength and conditioning, all those numbers has grown. But I think the biggest thing for me is the leadership role that Waller is able to provide, the attention she gives now, not only to her physical game, but to her mental game as well. And she continues to want to get better in those areas. And it's certainly been a pleasure and an honor being able to coach her.
Shortstop is certainly one of the key positions on the team. It's no secret in any team. A shortstop is always considered to be one of the most integral parts of the defense, and to be a shortstop all through her career, what set her apart? What made her a natural shortstop?
You know, I think it's one of those things when you watch Waller's movements and her glove and her arm strength, it comes together naturally. I think she has a command out there as well, and I think those are key in that position and someone that you can constantly go to and eyes can go to, and I think that she's done a great job for us out there.
You've had a homestand that finished up this past weekend. You're going on the road after you play Bucknell this weekend, three big games at home. Mm-hmm. Up on top of the hill, how significant are these games getting back into Patriot League play?
Yeah, it's great. The league right now is really in an interesting spot and an exciting spot, and I think we kind of know the opportunities that are ahead of us. Bucknell is a fantastic program, and they're really off to a great start this year. The nice thing about this week is, you know, there are no midweeks, so we get to give full attention to that preparation, and we're really excited about that.
Bucknell 9-0 in conference play so far, and you beat them a couple of years ago. They beat you last year. You owe them one right now,
yeah,
it seemed to me.
It's a little bit of the rubber match series, right? We're split 3-3 right now if you look at it, so it's certainly going to be a battle and a grind, but we're certainly going to embrace that.
What about the Patriot League as a whole? Where's the strength after Bucknell, and where do you see Holy Cross fitting in?
Yeah, you know, Bucknell's on a great start, like you said, 9-0, BU's in a really great place, and, you know, all the teams right now, we're really in a dogfight, and I think it's an exciting year in that it's going to be a little bit of anyone's game, and it's who's willing to step up in the big moments, who's embracing those, and who's willing to fight for it.
On the road after that, you go to Rhode Island, you go to Maine, you play at Colgate, and then at BC before coming home on the 24th of April. So a long road trip. We talked earlier the last time you were on about being on the road and the girls being together and bonding and getting to know and learn about one another. And that continues throughout the course of the season, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. It never stops. I think the more time you get to spend together, the better. You're constantly learning. You're constantly growing. You're more comfortable with each other by your third or fourth road trip, which is always fun. People's personalities start shining through more and more. Being on the road is a great time. You're just with your family for a few days.
I mentioned the last time I saw you, you had a little bit of a tan. I think you lost a little bit now since you've been north, huh?
I know. We have to get back to some sun. It's supposed to be 70 on Saturday, so I think we're going to get some sun coming out.
It's Bucknell for three games, a doubleheader on Saturday starting at noon, a single game on Sunday starting at noon on Kuznetsky Field on top of the – oh, no, freshman field,
freshman
right,
field,
down below.
Yep.
And before I let you go, Taylor, tell me about your experience at Holy Cross in general terms. How it was when you got here and what you've learned over the 4 years. Not to talk about classroom, but just life in general.
Yeah, one of the things I loved about Holy Cross when I came for my visit was that everywhere you looked, someone was smiling, someone was saying hello. And that definitely continued in my time here. I know that I don't go a single day where I don't walk down the campus and don't say hi to someone that I know or that I'm a friend with or that I see. And it's really nice to just kind of, even if maybe you're not having the greatest day, you walk by, you'll see someone, they'll smile, they say hello, and you're just like, okay, everything's fine. It's, yeah.
It's been a good 4 years.
It's been a great four years.
Flew by, didn't it?
It did fly by.
Yeah, it always does. Yeah. I'm always amazed at how the kids always say how they can't believe they're seniors. Mm-hmm. It was like yesterday when they got here, and now 4 years later, here they are in their final year, and they're getting ready to go out into the world or to grad school, as Taylor plans. Ladies, thank you very much for joining us. Good luck this weekend against Bucknell and the rest of the season.
Thank
you. Jen Lepicki and Taylor Waller from the Holy Cross softball team. Again, they're playing Bucknell this weekend. Doubleheader on Saturday at noon, single game on Sunday also at noon. And we will continue with the Holy Cross Coaches Show in a moment. But first, I want to tell you that you still love to shoot hoops and as well play on the company softball team. So you want to stay strong and injury-free all year long. UMass Memorial Healthcare's orthopedic experts help you stay active and get you back in the game when injuries occur. The care you need with the convenience you deserve. Call 855-UMass-MD today to learn more or schedule an appointment. UMass Memorial Healthcare is the official sports medicine provider of the Holy Cross Crusaders. We're going to take a break. We're going to talk football. It's the spring game coming up this Saturday. Coach Bob Chesney is here. Football next on the Holy Cross Coaches Show from Crossroads in the Hogan Campus Center on Sports Radio 1440 WEEI and on Facebook Live.
JMB Financial Advisors are proud to be a part of Holy Cross Athletics. JMB Financial Advisors, LLC, providers of intelligent capital for real estate investors, developers, and owners. JMB Financial Advisors can be found on the web at jmbfinancialadvisors.com. Or you can contact Steve Lovelett, Class of 78, the College of the Holy Cross, by email at lovelett@jmb.com.
Some doors are massive. Some are tiny. Some are inspiring or grand. Others, not so much. At Unibank, a door is the path to a family's dream home. It's the face of a small business. Open a door at Unibank and you'll find a unique place. A bank that listens to you and finds answers. All to help you write your own success story. Unibank. Bank different. Bank unique. Member FDIC. Member DIF. Equal housing lender.
There's never been a better time to switch to Sprint. Right now through September 20th, bring your number and get $100 for each leased phone. That's right, $100 on a prepaid MasterCard from MetaBank member FDIC for each leased phone when you switch a phone number over to Sprint. Register for the card online and you're good to go. And with Sprint Unlimited Basic, you'll enjoy special features that include TV from Hulu, mobile hotspot, and DVD quality streaming. Visit Sprint.com/unlimited or call 1-800-SPRINT-1.
One Hulu Limited commercial plan per account. Coverage and offer not everywhere. Video streams up to 480p. Speed maximums, use rules, and restrictions apply. Card terms, conditions, and expiration apply.
Winter will be back sooner than you think. If you were left out in the cold last winter, now is the time to think about making the switch to a home heating provider with over a century of experience in Worcester, C.K. Smith Superior. They delivered in the worst of conditions last winter. Call them today and ask about how they can keep you comfortable this winter. Call 508-753-1475 or online at ckSmithSuperior.com.
If you haven't heard the news, all-you-can-eat pizza and pasta is back at Papa Gino's for just $5.99.
Yum.
That's all-you-can-eat cheese slices, pepperoni slices, and pasta marinara. That is so good. All for just $5.99 per person every Sunday through Wednesday from 4 to 8 p.m. when you dine in. Yum. It is a deal so good, you may have to break that rule about talking to a mouthful. All-you-can-eat, just $5.99 at Papa Gino's. Pizza the way it should be.
You're listening to the Holy Cross Crusaders Coaches Show with Dick Lutzk on Sports Radio 1440 WEEI.
Brought to you by J&B Financial, and we are here at Crossroads in the Hogan Campus Center on the campus of the College of the Holy Cross. I'm Dick Lutzk, and for the next half hour or so, we're going to talk football with Holy Cross head football coach Bob Chesney. We'll be joined in a couple of minutes by a couple of players. Miles Alexander and Chris Riley are here. They'll be joining us a bit later on. But first, Coach Chesney, year number two.
Yeah.
Are you ready?
Yeah, we're ready. We're ready. We just walked off the field about 5 minutes ago here and just made it down in time. So we're definitely ready. A lot of good progress. Kids are really, really excited. And I think there's a little bit of familiarity with, you know, all of us now with one another. So
there's got to be excitement in the air for sure. Yeah. The way you finished last year, how can there not be?
Right, exactly. I think good momentum carrying it into the off season. I think, we certainly know what we need to do, and now it's a matter of us just stepping up and being able to do it.
Well, you set me up. What do you need to do?
Yeah, I think we need to start faster, right? That was something we talked about every single week down here, and we've really, paid attention to the way we're practicing. We come right out of stretch and jump right into it as quick as we can in some compete periods. Keep score of everything we're doing and really just try to think about the things where we came up a little bit deficient last year, and that's probably one of them, is starting fast. I thought we finished strong in all those games. I thought there was never an ounce of quit in any single one of our players, and now it's just a matter of us getting every bit of potential, out of all of our guys.
How did you do that? You mentioned it last year, and I certainly observed it from the press box and all throughout the course of the season, keeping everybody with a positive frame of mind. It was really impressive to see.
Well, I think, there in just the way we structure almost everything and the way we practice, there's always ups and downs and there's always winners and losers. But I think one period's over and maybe the offense lost, they know they have a chance to come back and compete that immediate next period or that next play. And that really next play mentality of being able to put the previous play behind us and move on is something that I think, we were able to certainly embody as the year went on.
Tied for second in the Patriot League, a 4-2 record in conference games, 4 straight wins at the end of the year, longest winning streak since 2020. Set a school single-season record with 7 blocked kicks, 6 blocked punts, and 4 blocked punts returned for touchdowns. That's an amazing stat. Yeah. Twice rallied from deficits of at least 21 points to win. Good for the 2 largest comeback victories in school history. And the game against Georgetown is one for Ripley, falling behind 31-5 and coming on to win 32-31 to close the season with the win. just really an incredible finish. And those stats that I just read really speak volumes.
Yeah, yeah. You wish you didn't get down so much early in the game to be able to accomplish some of those feats. But it's a win, right? A win is a win. And I think in the end, you know, that's something we're certainly paying close attention to. To finish the way they did, right? And I think to the way we did as a team, and you know, you brought up Macklin Quarterbine in there with the two block kicks for touchdowns in that last game. That is something, you know, for the, you know, that you probably won't see very often. But we did it a couple times. We've done it in the past, and hopefully it's something we can continue.
All right, let's talk about some spots you need to fill. Ryan Brady's gone.
Yeah.
Had a great year. Yep. All-American. Let's see. I had his numbers here. At the end of the year, he was named first-team All-New England, All-Patriot League, and academic All-Patriot League. During the victory at Georgetown, he had 16 tackles and 3 tackles for a loss. Over the course of his collegiate career, 258 tackles, 8 sacks, 29 tackles for a loss. How do you replace that?
I don't know that you just flat-out replace it. I think you find the next guy that's got to step up, right? It'll be different. It'll look different. That's for sure. And I think at the same time, you know, there'll be some pluses and minuses that everybody else, you know, stepping in brings to the table. You look at Colin Hanahan, who stepped in there for us. I mean, that BC game, as soon as Jack Haddon gets knocked out, he, as a freshman, just ran down on kickoff a play later and throws himself right in that game and doesn't back down. You know, I think those are things and lessons that he learned as that year went on and got better. There's a couple other young guys in there. Matty Johnson, a senior for us, is doing an unbelievable job here in the offseason as well. So those guys have to step up. They really have no choice.
You lose 20 seniors from last year's team, 4 guys coming back for fifth year, which we'll talk about in a minute. But you do have a recruiting class that's rated as in the top 20 in the country. Mm. So you've got some interesting people coming in. Obviously, it's hard to tell how freshmen will do. You don't know. They're not here yet.
That's right.
So it's hard to gauge what they'll do. But you do have some spots to fill, but you have to be enthusiastic about what you have coming in.
Absolutely. And I think as we go through every single practice, we're watching our guys just continue to compete and continue to get better and continue to raise the ceiling on their own abilities. And then I think when you bring in a new crop of younger guys that are pretty talented to push, you know, from below a little bit, I think then you start to have something. When you have good senior leadership and good talent below, it may not be ready just yet, but those older guys can pull them along. I think then you have something. And we're certainly, you know, not going to be short on talent.
The offensive line was great, especially in the latter part of the season. They paved the way for Holy Cross to average 327 yards, total offense 132.5 rushing yards, 24.4 points per game, to rank second in the league in each category. And leading the charge, left guard Brett Boddy and sophomore left tackle Brian Foley. They both started all 11 of the team's games, and they're both back this year.
That's right, yeah. And Brett's not with us right now, but obviously Brian Foley is. And then he continues to just impress, you know, as a sophomore last year to be able to do what he was able to do. You know, certainly, you know, speaks volumes of his program he came from high school and just his development in the weight room over the past couple of years. So he's one that we're expecting huge things from as well as Brett.
I mentioned you got 4 seniors, 4 fifth-year seniors coming back. Derek Mountain, who played tight end, Brett Boddy, offensive line, Corey Stefanik, a defensive player, and Jackson Dennison, offensive lineman. Mm. It tells me, correct me if I'm wrong on this, but here are 4 guys who could have graduated. Mm. But they see great things happening with the football program. They wanted to be part of it. That's how I'm looking at it.
Well, I think you're right. And I think that they also have a close-knit group here, or they're tight with the rest of the guys on this team. You know, and I think they really love football. There's a lot of guys that don't exercise that fifth year, that when that fifth year opportunity shows up, they're done. They're off that field and don't ever want to go back. And I think to see, you know, those 4 guys that had those medical red shirts that were able to do it, fought to be able to do it, and it's not the most perfect system where you step away for a whole semester and then be able to try to come back in the fall. But, you know, there's a lot of sacrifices they're making to be able to come back. So obviously they love this game, they love this team, and they love Holy Cross. They love what we're about. And I'm you know, very thankful for them. And we're all thankful that they're going to exercise that 50 years.
Those guys do, in fact, take a semester off. They'll come back in the fall and they'll graduate after the first semester next year. We talked last year at the end of the year about one of the big gaps that you will have to fill is wide receiver. You're losing 5 guys who played an awful lot of wide receiver. Martin Dorsey, Blaze Bell, Richie DeNicola, Tate Beatsley, Jordan Montgomery. That's a spot that needs some activity, I suspect.
Yeah, and I think when you look at, you know, you look at Blaze, you look even at Martin right at the end of the year. We couldn't stop talking about Martin right at the end of the year, just how productive he became. And I think, you know, that was something that, you know, we're certainly, you know, that's a huge void in there with all those guys. Just the numbers alone, as we're trying to practice in the spring, you know, we're a little shy on those numbers. So guys are getting a lot of reps and guys are stepping up. And I think there's a good amount of talent on our team right now. And I think those five young guys that are coming in next have the potential to see themselves in that rotation.
I would be remiss if I didn't ask you about the quarterback position.
Yeah.
I was at practice the other day. I saw you working three quarterbacks.
Yep.
Emmett Clifford, Eddie Scott, and
Connor.
Connor Dangenhurst.
Yep.
What have you learned so far? Where do things stand?
Well, I think, you know, Emmett was our starter last year, and I think that as Emmett, you know, continues to progress, that, you know, he has a lot of ability, and he has a good grasp on this entire offense. You know, he does a lot of really good things in getting the ball out early and getting it out to the proper reads and on time. And I think you move to Connor, he's a big kid. You know, he's a big kid that can run. He can throw the long ball. He showed it in a couple of those, you know, those plays that you've seen on some of those videos. He really does a nice job in there. And Ed's a guy that's a big, thick kid that can run with the football as well. And I think they all bring something a little bit different to the table, and they all just have to continue to compete like they continue to do right now.
Well, you have a couple of changes on your coaching staff this year as well. Four new coaches coming in, and I wanted to ask you about them as well. I had the list here, and I wanted to have you make a mention of it and tell me about each of the guys that are coming on and what they add to the staff.
Yeah, well, I think that, you know, as you look at the first one is Todd Gilchrist coming over from Columbia, a guy from Pennsylvania, grew up in Pennsylvania, played at Pitt, you know, really does a good job with our guys. I think he connected very, very well. He's very competent as far as a wide receiver coach is concerned, but then he also really has the ability to connect. A tough guy, you know, that really is a very good football coach and a good football player in his own right. I think Izzy Abraham is, you know, as you know, Kara Abraham, that's her husband, and he, you know, was here and came over from AIC. We had a chance to compete against Izzy when he played at Endicott, when he coached at Stonehill. Then he did a thing, internship with the NFL. You know, he's really just a very talented football coach as well, and we're very thankful to have him. Casey DeAndre is a name that I think we all know from the days of him playing.
He was a terrific player.
Right? Couple-year All-American and just, you know, coaching our corners and really just bestowing a lot of really good knowledge on them, you know, just from his own playing days, which were, you know, a year ago. And then you go to Mike Pucko, who's a longtime, you know, Worcester guy, played at UConn. Played back in the day against Mark Cannon and all the guys back here at Holy Cross, and really did an unbelievable job, you know, as his playing days, but then was able to progress into a college coach, then into a high school coach, and as a high school coach was one of the most winning coaches, you know, in this area. And again, just a very good football coach that cares a lot about these kids and really very capable. He did an unbelievable job with us at Assumption, and we're really lucky to have him with us.
You've got your coordinators back, Pat Murphy on offense, Scott James on defense. Again, correct me if I'm wrong, but my observation last year is that Pat Murphy became much more confident during the course of the season in doing things, in trying things.
Yeah, well, I think that also, you know, we did as a team. You know, I think our quarterbacks did. I think our offense did. I think everybody, it started to click, you know, a little bit more. You know, we didn't have spring was pretty fast last year.
Yep.
And there wasn't a lot of building going on in spring. It was trying to just figure it out. And then when spring was over, we went right into camp and really got thrown into the fire pretty quickly with the schedule we played. And, you know, I thought we did a nice job. And you know, the first half to be where we were at one point in time, when I look back at that schedule, you know, it's similar next year. You know, we have a very tough schedule coming up, and those are things that we embrace, and those are things that we want to be able to do. We want to consider ourselves the best, and to do that, you got to play against the best. So I think that as that year progressed and we got into more Patriot League action, remained relatively healthy from those earlier games, you know, we were able to compete at a pretty high level, you know, down the stretch.
We'll talk more about the schedule when we bring Chris and Miles up in the second segment. But Scott James, the defensive coordinator, again, defense played. We talked earlier about the stats of the defense, that they were pretty steady all season long.
Yeah, very steady, and I think aggressive. And I think, again, at the same time, you know, we were just trying to, again, figure each other out. Like our weaknesses, we were learning about what they were week in and week out, and eventually we were able to take some of those weaknesses and make them strengths. And, you know, and I think we started to play much better down the stretch. A lot of those, you know, I know the Lehigh game, the Fordham game, the Georgetown game, those games, you know, Lafayette game, we weren't giving up a whole lot of points, and we were playing some tough football.
The fact that you've got your coordinators back, that you're back for a second year, so the getting to know you process should be done with now, and everybody knows everybody for the most part.
Yeah, I think so. And I think, you know, you think about that in the big picture, and, you know, there's comfort in that. But it's really the day-to-day where you find even more comfort. You know, the, just the way we practice. I was talking to Chris and talking to Miles about it earlier, and I think that that's just one of those things that you don't have to, you know, try to say, well, where are we going next even in practice? And the tempo that we practice with, we continue to try to ratchet it up each and every single day. And a lot of it comes from within, not from coaches, but from the players themselves.
I was at last week, and I have to ask you this question. How do you keep track of what's going on during that whole two-hour period?
That's, right, that's what you want, right? A little bit of chaos. You
Man, it's organized it. Chaos
that's
is what
right.
it is.
And I think you want to look at it from the outside, and I think the first days as we were putting it in, it was probably one of those things that nobody knew what was going on. We were just trying to keep up with each other. And then I think now you get to it, and I think I got from the outside looking in, it looks chaotic, but on the inside, it's just Tuesday, it's just Thursday, it's just Saturday, and that's what we hope for.
But as far as being the head coach, trying to watch everybody and everything that's going on, is it? Do you get more out of watching the video of the practice after the practice, or are you able to just get your assistants together and figure out who did what, where, and when?
Yeah, well, so the idea of practice is to use our teach moment, our teach periods to teach, and use our play periods to play, right? And we want our guys in situations where they don't know what the situation is before they're thrown into it, where maybe it happens in a game. There's an interception or a fumble, and all of a sudden we're on our own one-yard line, and we got to be, you know, we're coming out. Those are things we want to throw them in without them knowing exactly what's about to happen next, and then see how they react. Get it on film. Don't coach them through it. And then after, that's where the lessons come into play. And we'll break and go to a teach period, and we'll use that teach period to teach.
There is one drill that you ran a couple of times during the course of the afternoon that I was there, where an offensive player gets the football, a defensive player, they circle and they come around and they try to, the offensive player tries to get by the defensive player.
That's right.
Both sides, then the offense lines up on one side, the defense on the other side.
That's right.
That's really, really, they get really into that.
Yeah, man. It's just
really competitive.
It's right. It's just an open field tackle drill, not a whole lot more, not a whole lot less. And it's just one of those things, though, that we're keeping score. And I think we want to win. You know, everybody on this team wants to win. If you lose, you're running. If you win, you're not. And I think everybody wants to compete every single day they're out there. And I think when it's me against you, but the whole offense behind you, the whole defense behind me, you win, right? And we're running. You know, defense is running because of it. I think that's something that, you know, those guys step up for every single day.
Spring game Saturday, 3:30 up on Kuznetsky Field, up on top of the hill. And there were clinics before the game on Saturday. What do we know about
kids,
that?
Kids clinic.
Yep.
So, yep, it's going to be for youth kids. It's going to be really, I think, up until 7th grade. And it's a free clinic. And we're asking everybody in town to come. We did it last year down on Fitton. I think we had over 250, you know, young men and women out there, and that's exactly what we want it to be. We want it to be a nice community day. There'll be some blow-ups out there and some things like that for them to run around, and there'll be obstacle courses and some lawn games and things like that that we want really the community involved as much as possible.
And then you've got prospect camps coming up in the month of June and July.
Yeah.
What about that?
Well, I think that's a big chance for a lot of people to really show, you know, exactly what they have. I think of all these, you know, 18 guys or 20 guys, whatever, are coming in next year. I want to say that probably more than half of them were at our camps. At those camps, we were able to coach them. They were able to be coached by us and learn how we coach, and we were able to see if it was a match. And a lot of times, you know, a scholarship offer came out of that, and then those were guys that ended up, you know, committing and coming here.
So are these kids that are coming from all over the country?
All over, yeah, all over.
Really interesting.
Yeah.
And these, the dates of that are June 20, June 21, June 26, and July 12. And more information on the prospect camps is available online at GoHolyCross.com. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll bring up Chris Riley and Miles Alexander, and we'll talk more Holy Cross football about the very, very exciting schedule, which begins August 31st against the Naval Academy. All of that's coming up next. We'll talk men's lacrosse later in the hour as we continue with the Holy Cross Coaches Show from Crossroads in the Hogan Campus Center on Sports Radio 1440 WEEI and on Facebook Live.
Wash your car every day with the Unlimited Wash Pass from Golden Nozzle, starting at only $14.99 per month. The Unlimited Wash Pass from Golden Nozzle is quick, convenient, and can be used at any Golden Nozzle location across New England. Sign up in person or online at goldennozzlecarwash.com.
Silver Fox is proud to be the transportation partner for Holy Cross Athletics, carrying student athletes to New York, Pennsylvania, Washington, D.C., and throughout New England. Since 1978, Millbury-based Silver Fox is the area's leader in tours and chartered coaches. Their drivers are characterized by their friendliness and enthusiasm, and your safety is their top priority. From local destinations to Canada, Florida, and as far west as Chicago, Silver Fox is your group transportation solution. SilverFoxCoach.com.
We love social media, maybe even more than your aunt, who never stops commenting on your pictures. From 3 years ago,
but at KM we still prefer our experiences to be firsthand. So we're lighting up the grill, firing up the good times, and social networking on the lawn for a change. Family crafted since 1909 in Chelsea, Mass., we've been bringing people together for four generations. So pick up a pack or 10 of KM Franks at your grocer today. KM, together we grill.
Hi, I'm Gordy Lockbaum with the Sullivan Group. At Sullivan Insurance Group, we have one game plan. Provide our clients a full line of insurance products and risk management services to allow them to make the best decisions in managing risk. We've been committed to providing exceptional customer service through honesty and respect for over 50 years, specializing in insurance and risk management for individuals and businesses. Give us a call at 1-800-649-1553 or visit us online at sullivangroup.com.
Wash your car every day with the Unlimited Wash Pass from Golden Nozzle Car Wash. The Unlimited Wash Pass is quick, convenient, and can be used at any Golden Nozzle location across New England, including Grove and Lincoln Streets in Worcester and Green Street in Milford. Visit GoldenNozzleCarWash.com.
Now, back to the Holy Cross Crusaders Coaches Show on Sports Radio 1440 WEEI.
And whether it's a checkup, a follow-up, or a what's-up, making a doctor's appointment has never been easier. With UMass Memorial Healthcare, ready when you are, 24/7, the care you need with the convenience you deserve. Current patients and new patients, visit umassmemorial.org/appointment or call 855-UMASS-MD to schedule care from anywhere. UMass Memorial Healthcare is the official sports medicine provider of the Holy Cross Crusaders. Back with the Holy Cross Coaches Show, I'm Dick Lutz. We're joined by Holy Cross football coach Bob Chesney, Miles Alexander, and Chris Riley, two seniors who played a lot of football for you last year, Coach.
Absolutely. Did an unbelievable job as well. Yep, we're very, very excited. They're leaders, and they continue to have some young guys in their groups, too, that they're able to bring along. And really, not only are they leading by example, but they're also verbal leaders, and that's crucially important right now.
Both guys played through injuries last year. Both healthy, I hope, Miles and Chris?
Yes.
Ready
sir.
To go?
Yes, sir.
How's practice going for you so far? Miles, I'll start with you.
It's really good so far. Just getting adjusted to all the new faces and the coaching staff and all that. But definitely trying to keep the energy up that the staff brought in. And we're just really excited to start playing.
If you can keep up with the coach, you're doing a good job energy-wise because he's about the most energetic guy I've seen. How's it going for you, Chris?
It's good. Coming off of injury last year, I didn't have full confidence. So coming into the spring, it's all about gaining some confidence in myself, gaining some confidence in the defense, learning the structure more, and being able to play with new faces on the defense after we lost some seniors. So having to step into a leadership role, I've been attempting to do that along with some other players on our defense, and we've been hitting it since the beginning of the spring.
Finishing the way you guys did at the end of last year, winning the last four, especially the way you won the last four, had to be a good feeling and building momentum going into this year.
Yeah, definitely. Just knowing that we can close out those games and know that we're never going to be out of a game, and just know that no matter how far ahead they get, that we're always going to keep fighting. That's something that I was definitely happy to see. I'm sure Chris felt the same way about it, too.
How would you characterize the way that the season finished and the morale of the group at the end of the year?
High. As high as it can be. You know, by the end of the year, we learned how to win. That's what you always want to do as a football player is win. But obviously, in the beginning of the season, we weren't doing that. And we figured out how to do that by the end of the season. And then this whole winter workout and spring season, we've been competing against each other. And the goal of all those competes is to win. So offense, defense, as the spring's been going, we've been battling against each other, attempting to
win. You guys are killing each other when I was out there the other day.
Exactly. It's a full compete against one another, and we've been pretty close. Defense is up a little bit right now, but it's been fun to, you know, finally play some football again.
Miles Alexander ranked second on the team in rushing last year, 379 yards, three touchdowns. Scored the go-ahead touchdown during the big comeback victory at Georgetown to end the season. What a great thrill that must have been.
Yeah, it was just a good feeling. Like I said earlier, just knowing that we can come back, knowing that the line's going to open up holes for me, it's just a good feeling. Real confident running behind them.
Miles is an economics major. What do you hope to do when you graduate?
You know, I'm definitely going to give a pro day a shot and see where that takes me. And after that, we'll see.
Miles from Overland Park, Kansas. Chris Riley from Naples, Florida. Led the team with three interceptions last year. A psychology major. What do you hope to do?
This summer I'm actually have an internship at Dell EMC here in Franklin, Mass., along with Miles and a couple other teammates. So I'll see how that internship goes, and if I like it, you know, maybe go in that direction. If not, I'll weigh my options, see if I want to, you know, stay in sports, or, you know, I can definitely tell after this internship, you know, where I can take my future.
Coach, what have you learned about these two young men in the 2 years you've had to know them?
I think the leadership part is what keeps standing out for me. You know, I think they both, like you said, battled some injury. I think that, you know, didn't always go exactly their way, you know, but there's a difference, right? When it doesn't exactly go your way, you could do one of two things, right? You could pout about it a little bit, or you could come back and fight harder and harder. And both of these guys did exactly that. You know, that's the game-winning touchdown in that final game and the game-winning interception to shut down that whole entire drive to the final play of that season. And then the confidence to watch both of them just continue to grow. It's not only them, but there's a lot of other guys on this team doing the same thing. But I'll bet you they're taking a lot of their lead from both of these guys.
What are expectations that you have set for yourself and for the team for this year? What goals do you have?
As a team, just I really want a Patriot League championship. I think that's big. And just to even go further than that, personally, I just want to have a better season. You know, I just don't feel like I've really met, like, my full potential yet. So I'm really excited to get back out on the field and pursue those goals.
What goals do you have for yourself, Chris?
For myself, I want to, you know, stay healthy and be a leader on and off the field and make sure everyone around me is doing their role. And on the defensive side of the ball, we talked about do your 111th. So I want to do my 111th to the best of my ability and trust that my teammates will do theirs. And then as far as the team goes, you know, we pursue a Patriot League championship every year, and we need to learn how to win. And I think the end of last year, we figured out how to do that. So, you know, go into the season, of course, we want to take care of the Patriot League games, but we also have some big games scheduled on our schedule. So, you know, we open up at Navy, so that's a game that we've already been focusing on. So, you know, take every game 1 week at a time, but, you know, go into each week believing we'll win and thinking that by the end of our preparation and our coaches' belief in us that we'll win.
I don't know about you guys, but at the end of the year last year, I would have loved another shot at Colgate. I would have loved another chance to play that team again. Played them first game last year,
yeah.
Conference game. This year, you play four games before you play your first Patriot League conference game. Is that better?
Yeah, it's much better. I think that, you know, especially for us, I mean, it was all so new, right? And we go up there, I think it's 28-0 at halftime, and then we end up being able to come back and just come up a little bit short, hold them to nothing in the second half. And time you're going to open up right away. There's a lot of things that you don't know about your team yet, and it doesn't matter. Each year, even if we're all here, you know, and we lose some guys to graduation, a couple injuries, whatever, that week one, your best chance for growth is from week one to week two. So to have a most meaningful game in week one, sometimes it's a little bit dangerous.
What did you learn about the difference in coaching in Division II to Division I, the Patriot League, and in what you experienced during the course of the year? Was there a difference?
Schematically, not necessarily.
X's and O's are the same.
Yeah, I think that it's managing, right? This is only a 90-man roster. Teams we're playing against have 130, 140 on their team, right? There's a little bit more management that needs to go into, you know, the day-to-day operation, how we lift weights, how we condition on Sundays, the way we practice throughout the week. There's a little bit more that needs to come, you know, gets involved in that just because you only have 90 men on the team. That's where it becomes a little bit different, I think, than maybe other places I've been. Everybody here truly matters, every single person on this team. I don't think when you say you have 130, 140 on your team, you like to say everybody matters, but you have a lot of spare guys there. You don't have anybody here. Everybody here matters, and I think that is probably the one thing, keeping everybody focused and involved and excited about it and knowing that they're the next man up, and their
next
shot's probably going to show up by the time that season is over, and it always does. So,
well, let's look at the schedule. You open at Navy on August 31st. The first cupcake on the schedule is Navy at Annapolis. My goodness. Then you play New Hampshire here in Worcester, then on the road for three more at Yale, at Syracuse, and at Bucknell, and then at Brown. So four games in a row on the road before you come back home. Not an easy schedule, to be sure, but very challenging.
Yeah, definitely very challenging. I think even, you know, when you think about that, not everybody travels in all of these away games either. So we'll have one. So we'll be here in August, and then there'll be one game where some of the guys that aren't on the travel squad will get a chance to see. We'll not be able to see us play again until sometime in October. You know, that's a long stretch that I think, again, as far as motivation and excitement and things that come along with that, we just got to keep a close eye on because, again, everybody matters, but getting through those first couple months, you know, they're only going to watch one game, some of those guys.
Because with a 90-man roster, you're only traveling 60.
That's right.
And so that 30 guys that won't make the trip. But as far as the Patriot League, what did you learn about the Patriot League and the competitive nature of the Patriot League last year?
Well, I think that, you know, what you see is that from week one to week two to week three in league play, you start to notice that the health issue is what comes into play, right? There's a couple of guys that are injured or, you know, whatever the case may be that were there in the week one but aren't in week two or aren't there in week three of Patriot League play. So I think getting guys healthy, keeping guys safe, doing things like that is a big piece, and that's something that I noticed from week to week. You know, you were playing against, it felt like a very different team, you know, each week from what you maybe saw in film.
These guys shouldn't beat each other up in practice like I saw the other day. Spring game coming up Saturday. What do you look for in a spring game like this? What sorts of goals do you set? What experimentation do you do in a game like that?
Yeah, I think that, you know, it's not going to be extremely flashy. We're going to try to be basic. We're going to try to make sure we understand, you know, what the building blocks of this offense are, this defense are, and the special teams are. We're going to look for game management of how we communicate throughout that game, how guys sub in and out throughout that game, and then really how they take care of one another throughout that game. Those are all things, because in the end, it's someone gets hurt in that game, it's one of your guys. You know, where you play another game against another team, it's a 50-50 shot, it was your guy that got hurt. We're trying to keep people safe, trying to make sure we have a good understanding of the offense and the defense.
Guys, what are you looking for in the spring game? What sorts of things do you expect of yourself, and how do you keep yourself healthy?
One thing I'm looking forward to in the spring game is, you know, growing on the mistakes that we did on and showed on film last year, and we've been focusing that on throughout these practices. We've had some scout periods where it's just plays where we messed up last year, and we're not told that it's those plays, and we're thrown into the fire, into the same situation, the same play call, and see if we learn from our mistakes. So we've been doing that in practice, but in the game when the bullets are flying, we want to make sure that we're doing everything we've been coached to do and doing it properly, so when fall comes, we're ready to play.
Miles, what are you looking for?
Just looking forward to seeing everybody step up and make plays and be vocal, and seeing how some of the young guys will step forward as well. And also, we have a lot of compete stuff riding on it, so we got to beat the defense in that too. So, yeah,
it's competitive, isn't it? You guys really do compete with each other, the offense and the defense. How do you keep them away from each other, Coach? Make sure they don't hurt each other.
I think that they're good at that. You don't want to keep them away from each other. No, we want to compete in everything we do every time we step foot on that field.
As far as getting ready for a spring game like this, you talk about keeping it basic. So you're not really running any trick plays or any kind of
We'll probably have a couple in there. But, yeah, it's not going to be the full offense or the full defense. You know, it's going to be a good understanding of what we're trying to do at our base level. Because if we're not good at that, you know, the first time there's some fans in the stands and the first time there's some pressure situations, we want to make sure that the base level of what we're doing on offense and defense is sound.
3:30 kickoff on Kuznetsky Field on top of the hill here at Mount St. James. The Holy Cross spring football game. By the way, in the morning, at 11 o'clock in the morning, is the awards banquet luncheon. Can people still get tickets to that if they want to go?
I think so. If you contact Luann Hennessy, yep, I think they're still available.
Details are online. The awards will be presented at 11 o'clock in the morning here at the Hart Center, and then the game at 3:30 on top of the hill. Look forward to seeing you there. Thanks very much, fellas. Coach Bob Chesney, Chris Riley, Miles Alexander of the Holy Cross football team. Can't wait for August 31st to come. I'm so excited. I can't begin to tell you. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk men's lacrosse as we continue with the Holy Cross Coaches Show from Crossroads in the Hogan Campus Center on the campus of the College of the Holy Cross in Worcester on Sports Radio 1440 WEEI and on Facebook Live.
JMB Financial Advisors are proud to be a part of Holy Cross Athletics. JMB Financial Advisors, LLC, providers of intelligent capital for real estate investors, developers, and owners. JMB Financial Advisors can be found on the web at jmbfinancialadvisors.com. Or you can contact Steve Lovelett, Class of 78, the College of the Holy Cross, by email at lovelett@jmb.com.
Holy Cross students and Crusaders fans, when on Mount St. James enjoying games or on the road following your favorite Crusaders teams, make sure to quench your thirst and refuel with Pepsi, Gatorade, Mountain Dew Kickstart, and Starbucks products, all of which are available in the Luth Athletic Complex, all over campus on the College of the Holy Cross, and in stores everywhere. Pepsi, delicious, refreshing Pepsi, the proud official soft drink of Holy Cross Crusaders Athletics. Go Crusaders!
At Big Y, we believe our selection of products need to be as diverse as the customers who shop here. Whether you're a gluten-free guru in search of snacks, cereals, and recipes, or an organic aficionado looking for all-natural beverages, meats, and cleaners, we'll give you a variety of options that are second to none. So stop by Big Y to find out what we have in store for you and discover all the other ways we make our store your store each and every day. It's no big surprise. It's my Big Y.
The Hilton Garden Inn Worcester is the official hotel of Holy Cross Athletics. Located in the heart of downtown Worcester at 35 Major Taylor Boulevard, next to the DCU Center, Hilton Garden Inn allows you to sleep deep, work smart, eat well, stay fit, and treat yourself with satisfaction guaranteed. Whether you're looking to book a space for your next business meeting or are in town watching the Crusaders, book your stay at the Hilton Garden Inn Worcester. Call today 508-753-5700. Hilton Garden Inn Worcester, the official hotel of Holy Cross Athletics.
This is the Holy Cross Crusaders Coaches Show on Sports Radio 1440 WEEI.
And before we continue talking men's lacrosse, I want to remind you that the Holy Cross Department of Athletics has announced the inaugural Crusader Athletics Fund Golf Classic to take place Monday, July 29th at the historic Baltusrol Golf Club in Springfield, New Jersey. The event includes 18 holes of golf with a caddy on Baltusrol's lower course, an exclusive Holy Cross Athletics player gift lunch, a cocktail reception, and dinner. This fundraising event will enrich the experience of Holy Cross student athletes through the Crusader Athletics Fund, and all of the details are available at GoHolyCross.com. Let's talk lacrosse with the head coach of the Holy Cross men's lacrosse team, Peter Burke, and he'll be joined by Dan O'Connell, who's here with us as the Crusaders are on a roll. They've won three in a row, beating Brown, Navy, and Lafayette. Coach, nice three-game winning streak.
Yep, you never complain about that. You know, we're really excited about where we are. You know, the next 3 weeks are going to be really important for us, continuing to take it week by week. But three league games to wrap up the season will be critical, you know, not only for, you know, earning a bid into the Patriot League tournament, but positioning yourself well in the Patriot League tournament.
In the 16-4 win over Lafayette, 12 different goal scorers, and a lot were from guys that haven't been in the score sheet lately. Talk about how important it was to get the team win, emphasis on team, with contributions throughout the lineup.
Yeah, absolutely. It was great for us, great for our team, the program itself. You know, it wasn't just on the offensive end, but getting everybody in on the defensive end as well. I think we spoke about this a little bit the last time that we're on the show of, you know, really developing that second group of midfielders for us, getting some more guys, you know, involved in the action, and, you know, they went out there and they performed and were able to get those firsts out of the way. So we're excited about it.
What are you doing to accomplish that? What's the coaching technique that that accomplishes the spreading of the wealth amongst the team?
Well, we play a team-oriented offense. You know, it's not about one guy. You know, just like we spoke about the, you know, top six guys where all the points are spread out between them. Well, the same goes for that second group, and it all starts in practice in every single week. And the way that they prepare, the way that they work on a daily basis, you know, over time, those things show. And I think those guys are starting to reap some of those benefits throughout the year.
Dan O'Connell is here with us. Dan is a junior from Winchester, 3 goals, 87 ground balls, a winning percentage of 0.663, winning faceoffs, ranking 5th in the nation in faceoff winning percentage. What makes you such a good faceoff guy?
Oh, geez. It's a good question. I think just kind of the work that Coach Burke and I have put in together over the past year and a half has been pretty key. I mean, coming into Holy Cross, I really didn't know how to take faceoffs, and it's really a technical position. So I think just staying after practice all last year, and you know, I would always feel bad at like 8 or 9 o'clock. Hey, Coach B, you can get out of here, buddy. He would keep taking reps with me, and from his playing days, he knows his way around the faceoff X, so he was able to kind of really teach me the ins and outs, because it's a real technical position. So.
I think I asked you last time you were here, is that instinctive or is it learned?
I was taught by somebody when I was in high school. I was actually recruited as a faceoff guy to Bucknell, but you know, it's changed a little bit over time, but a lot of the same concepts are very similar, and you know, learning from other guys in the coaching profession, and you know, applying it to Dan here.
Giving up just 4 goals Saturday at Lafayette, that's the first time since 2010 that the program allowed less than 5 goals. Talk about the defensive effort.
Well, they've been playing great all year. You know, if you look back through all of our games, there's been, you know, a lot of sub-10 goal performances by our opponents. They play extremely aggressive. They play together just like we do on the offensive end. We play a team-oriented defense, and, you know, a lot of that is involved with ball pressure, and
you know, being aggressive on ball and helping, you know, when guys are dodging to the goal. So they've been doing a great job with that, and they executed the game plan perfectly. And, you know, credit to Coach Lynch as well with working with those guys and, you know, helping them be in the best spots to be successful on game day. So
you talk about the extra work that you do to become a good faceoff guy. What does go into it? What sort of extra work is necessary? Is it just technique? Is it anticipation? Is it just trying to watch video of the guy that you're going to be facing off with? How do you do it?
Right. Well, it's not the first time I've had that question, but I think it's mostly a position that's predicated on who wants it more. And I think by that, I mean it's very technical. So, I mean, there's an element of hand speed and a little bit of athleticism, but it's very much technique. So it just takes hours and hours and hours of practicing to kind of get that form and get that technique down. And along with that, there's been a lot more chemistry and just more patience and comfortability with the wing play, because it's not a one-man show. It's 3v3. It's a 3v3 ground ball every single time. So I think with the wings, Will Murphy, Kevin Hannon, Chase Maitland, Phil Turner, all those guys have been really huge in stepping up, and we've started to develop a real chemistry amongst ourselves, which has been awesome.
So. Is he understating the athleticism that's needed in a situation like that?
I think he definitely does. And just to go back to your point as well, I think a lot of the extra work, you know, I think it's very important, and I think Dan does as well, that being a field player in lacrosse is one of the most important things. It's not all about just the X and the actual clamping of the ball to get possession of it. There's a whole other dynamic of facing off and getting possession into the offensive end, and that's, you know, he practices that every day by joining all the other players in the field drills. He played offense the entire fall. So a lot of this work that he does on his technique and that he commits to, you know, his craft comes outside of practice. And he volunteers his own time to do it because he knows he needs to in order to be, you know, at this elite level that he's performing right now. And it's, you know, it's really paying off for him. So
I was driving up the Hart Center the other day when I went to football practice, and I was watching a bunch of guys on the side of the building with lacrosse sticks and balls banging against the wall. Is that a standard drill?
Absolutely. We have 100 and 100 every day. You have to have 100, you know, tosses with your right, 100 with your left before you can go to the practice field. So it's kind of our daily discipline there.
Well, three wins in a row. Where does that put you in the Patriot League as far as looking ahead and the possibilities?
Yeah, right now we're in a great spot. I think we're tied for, you know, fifth technically, but, you know, there's a lot that needs to happen. You know, some teams are 3-3. We're 2-3 right now. So we just got to keep taking it week by week. Our destiny is in our hands, and if we take care of the next 3 weeks, we'll be in a great spot, but we have to approach it, you know, 1 week at a time, and Colgate's up first.
Coming up Saturday, you've got a home game with Colgate. It's Youth Day and Cancer Awareness Day on top of the hill. Talk a little bit about that.
You know, it's great. We have a youth clinic to start the day in the morning. So anybody in the area that wants to come out up to eighth grade, and, you know, our guys will work with them. We'll put them in certain drills that we do in practice all the time. And it's really a great experience. And then just having the opportunity to, you know, raise money for cancer awareness is always a great thing. And, you know, I know cancer has touched everyone personally at one level or another, so it's great to continue to give back.
Dan O'Connell is a political science major. What attracted you to Holy Cross? Tell me about the recruiting process.
Yeah, so I actually transferred into Holy Cross from the University of South Carolina. So
you're a Gamecock.
Yeah,
so
Gamecock.
Was I.
Oh, no way.
How about that?
No way.
Yeah.
There you go, Columbia.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful spot. So I had a great time at South Carolina, but actually they don't have a lacrosse program, and so I transferred in because my mom went here and ended up walking on to the team, and, you know, they were very accepting of me and, you know, said if I worked, then I'd have every opportunity. So definitely not the most traditional path to college lacrosse, but I really enjoyed my year in South Carolina, but couldn't be more grateful for the friends and the memories that I've made thus far. You know, still got another year and a half.
Your mom went here. Your great-grandfather, James Brennan, grandfather Raymond Brennan, Aunt Kimberly Brennan, Aunt Christine Brennan, cousin Neil Turner, cousin Molly Turner, all Holy Cross alums.
Yeah, it's some lineage from the O'Connell and Brennan side, so it's been awesome.
How'd they let you get away to South Carolina?
Oh, geez, my brother was there, so you know, I got to spend a year with him, but I think it's been awesome because I really think Holy Cross is home for me, and I've just loved every minute I've been up here.
Tell me a little bit about Dan in the short time we have left.
Yeah, he's an exceptional guy. He takes care of business in the classroom. You know, he has above a 3.5 GPA. You know, he's on Dean's list this past semester. Works extremely hard. You know, I think he's one of those unique individuals where, You know, he has a ton of talent and, you know, kind of God-given ability athletically on the field, but the way he approaches the game is he does it in the right way, and he works extremely hard. And when you combine those two things, you know, some special things really happen. And, you know, he deserves all the praise for the success that he's having on the field right now. He's put in that work, and he deserves that credit. So, you know, all the credit to him.
Peter Burke is the head coach of the Holy Cross men's lacrosse team. Dan O'Connell, a junior. Happy to have you with us. Good luck Saturday against Colgate. Before we go, I want to remind everybody of a couple of things that are happening. Senior Keely Connors named the C.K. Smith Superior Crusader of the Week for competition April 1 through 7. Connors led the Crusader women's lacrosse team to a 19-13 win over Bucknell in its only game last week. Women's lacrosse freshman attack Jolie Creo was named the Patriot League's Rookie of the Week, as announced by the league. First weekly honor for the freshman and the team's second honor of the season. Sophomore Krista J. Moore of the Holy Cross women's track and field team named the Patriot League Female Field Athlete of the Week, according to the conference. And I want to remind you as well that a group who set numerous school records and earned extensive recognition headlines a class of seven individuals who will be inducted in the Holy Cross Varsity Club Athletic Hall of Fame this year. The 2019 inductees into the Hall of Fame: Ari Confessor, Chuck Doyle, Stacy Hodgkins, Pat Kelly, Megan Lynch, Glenn Williams, and Barry Parenteau. The honorees will be formally inducted into the Athletic Hall of Fame Saturday, May 4th at the Varsity Club's annual dinner, and all of the information for that is available online at GoHolyCross.com. That does it for the Holy Cross Coaches Show for this year. Thank you very much for listening and watching. I'm Dick Lutzk at the Hogan Campus Center in Crossroads. Thanks for watching and listening, and we'll look forward to talking with you August 31st. When the Holy Cross football team opens their 2019 season at the Naval Academy. Thanks to Kyle Carter for producing, and good night from Holy Cross.
You've been listening to the Crusaders Coaches Show, presented by JMB Financial Advisors, providing custom capital solutions. We hope you'll join us next time from the Hogan Campus Center at the College of the Holy Cross, and listen live on Sports Radio 1440 WEEI. This has been an exclusive presentation of Crusader Sports Properties and Outfront Media Sports. Crusader Sports Properties is a division of Outfront Media Sports.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.